Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Paul Lancour, in for Rachel Miro. A judge is expected to issue a ruling today that could halt California's high-speed rail project. Farmers have claimed in lawsuits that the project is proceeding without the proper environmental review. They want a Superior Court judge in Sacramento to issue a temporary injunction to stop preliminary work on the project until their claims can be heard in court. Meanwhile, the state's high-speed rail authority announced yesterday that it was adding a year to its construction schedule. The move comes as critics have argued that the timeline was too short and too risky. The added 12 months means the first 130 miles of track in the Central Valley are now scheduled to be finished by December 2017. Construction is expected to begin next July. Hostess, the company that makes Twinkies and Wonder Bread, filed a motion in bankruptcy court today that would shut down 33 plants across the country, including four in California. Workers are striking over a new contract that significantly cuts salaries and health and pension benefits. The company is looking to close facilities and liquidate the entire company. Hostess's financial problems are not new. The company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in January. The passage of Proposition 30 by voters last week has educators in California breathing easier. It's expected to raise about $7 billion for schools this year. But voters expecting to see tangible benefits from that money at their local schools right away might be disappointed. In the first year, at least, much of that money is already spoken for. For a look at what Proposition 30 might mean for schools this year and beyond, we're joined by Catherine Barron, senior reporter with EdSource today. Catherine, if that money isn't going for new computers or to rehire teachers this year, where is it going?
So, Paul, right off the top, about a little over $2 billion is going to pay off deferrals. That's money that the state has been borrowing from school districts. You know, they've allocated it and then pulled it back and said, we're going to give this to you, but we kind of need it right now to pay off debts. It's grown to about $9.5 billion. So the state is going to pay off under Prop 30. Part of that was to start paying down those deferrals. Then with the other money, a little over $3 billion, rather, basically what that will do is allow schools to stay where they are. It allows them to not have to cut mostly the school year, which was about all that was left to cut.
Molly McGee Hewitt is executive director of the California Association of School Business Officials, and here's what she said in a recent webcast about people's expectations around Proposition 30.
In some ways, I worry about it being very similar to what happened when the lottery came in. The number one question that I've been asked my entire professional career since the lottery is, what the heck have you all done with all that lottery money, as if we're keeping it in a back room?
Of course, a certain percentage of lottery money is earmarked for schools as well. I wonder, after being sold on Proposition 30's benefits for education for weeks leading up to the election, do people now have unrealistic expectations about what that money will mean for their schools?
Well, Molly McGee Hewitt and some other advocates, education advocates, and even members of the legislature say that that is very possible, that people are expecting right away that teachers will be rehired, that librarians will come back to schools, and maybe school nurses will come back. There'll be a full athletic program. It's not happening like that. Really, what's going to happen is it's not going to go below rock bottom, which is kind of where it's been.
So what about after this year? You've said that this year at least is sort of to maintain the status quo. But once those debts are paid off, what can we expect, you know, in future years from Proposition 30 money? Will we see those tangible benefits?
That is the goal of Prop 30, is that with each successive year, there'll be more revenues that the economy will pick up, and that the tax money that's coming in from the higher income earners will raise the general fund. Proposition 98, which funds schools and community colleges, will then get raised because it's based on a percentage of the general fund. And so everybody will continue to get a little bit more money. They can continue to pay down that deferral, but there'll also perhaps be more money to spend on rebuilding some of these programs.
So this week, Governor Brown made rare appearances at the board meetings of both California State University and the University of California, and he invoked Proposition 30 in the process of dissuading CSU and UC from raising fees. the proposition, as I understand it, has no money for either of those systems. It's for K through 12 and for community college education. So why should Prop 30 matter to them?
Even though they are not directly named in Proposition 30 as beneficiaries, they would have been hit by the trigger cuts. So, for instance, Cal State University would have taken a $250 million mid-year budget cut. Now that doesn't happen. So, in fact, what Cal State University has said is that increased tuition hike that is in effect right now, we're going to rescind that, and we're going to give that money back to students in either through refunds or taking it off their next semester bill or through increased financial aid. UC is doing the same thing. UC was going to raise fees even more on professional programs. They're going to postpone that now at the request of the governor, who said, you don't need to go ahead and do this now. So it's not something that was written into Prop 30, but it benefits everybody.
And also last week in the election, a record number of local tax and bond measures for schools were passed. So are we seeing a change that's even larger than Proposition 30 in terms of how school funding works in the state?
I think what we are seeing is people panicking. People really, after years of being told, hey, folks, things are really horrible with our schools, look around the country, they're saying, you know what, you're right. And the legislature wasn't going to raise taxes because they required 2/3 to raise taxes, and that was not going to happen. So voters said, we're going to do it. We're going to bite the bullet ourselves and do this because they're worried. And I think that's what we saw. We also saw, really interestingly, young people themselves, college students, coming out in huge numbers to support this because they're seeing what's happening on their campuses.
Great. Catherine, thank you very much for coming by and talking to us.
You're welcome.
Catherine Barron is senior reporter with EdSource Today. And that's the California Report for Friday, November 16th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Howard Gelman, with additional engineering by Danny Bringer and Seal Muller. Sarah Bond and Nina Thorson directed the show. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White and David Marks. Our associate senior producer is Victoria Malione. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Paul Lancourt. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com.